As we continue to stay home and stay safe for the most part due to the coronavirus pandemic, we've learned a new term, quarantine fatigue. This is Lisa Berry, and that is at least something I have never thought about. And joining us now on 89.1 WEMU is Peter Jacobson, Professor Emeritus of Health, Law, and Policy at the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. I always like to start these interviews by asking, are you doing okay?
Yes. My wife and I have been sheltering in place for the past several weeks, so we are taking appropriate precautions and doing well. Thank you.
You've done research on the relationship between law and healthcare delivery and health equity, which we have certainly learned a lot about during this pandemic. But I saw you recently quoted in another article about how we might get out of the house sooner versus later, which prompted me to reach out. As a public health expert, what are you thinking?
I'm like many people in public health, I'm really starting to think about how public health practitioners, public health scholars, public health law should start to talk about this issue. It should be no surprise to anyone that people are starting to get restless, feeling that they've been in for a long time. In many parts of the country, they're seeing numbers of new cases decline. We're seeing the demonstrations, not just in Michigan, but Wisconsin, North Carolina, other places, Texas, maybe from fringe political groups, but also more and more, how long do we have to stay in?
Right.
When you talk about the term quarantine fatigue, one of the reasons why it's new is we've never had this, really since 1918 anyway.
Right.
This widespread need to have people shelter in place. That just can't go on indefinitely. The risk is, though, that we reopen the economy, move people out of the sheltering in place too quickly. I don't know that anyone has a good sense of when the right time to reduce the sheltering at home requirements would be, but we have to start thinking about it, start assessing what are the conditions under which stay-at-home orders should remain in place. Remember, there's a real concern, a legitimate epidemiological concern, that there could be a severe second wave of COVID-19, of the coronavirus. We can't ignore that. At the same time, we have to really consider the economic and social harm of continuing to have people locked in place. Not everyone can work from home. Not everyone has the independent means, resources to stay at home much longer. How do we balance all of those factors? People are going to differ. So in this sense, it seems to me that local conditions should dictate how quickly people move out. We should have clear criteria for how to proceed and when to open up more widely. All the while, expand testing and expand the evaluation. Make sure you evaluate in real time so that if you see a spike in new cases, you can take action.
I think the longer we stay inside, the more I hear people making claims that this whole virus is a conspiracy and that their human and civil rights are being infringed upon. And what are the legal issues involving the spread of infectious diseases, including quarantine? That's something that you have researched, correct?
Right. So I think you have to break that question down into two parts. One, the conspiracy theories have been there from the beginning. So let's discount those. Those are inaccurate. They're not what they're claimed to be. They're just straight-out conspiracy theories. Second point would be that I defend the stay-at-home regimes that governors like Gretchen Whitmer had put in place. This was a very severe, lethal virus, and the stay-at-home orders were needed. It doesn't mean they can remain indefinitely. The legal aspects are complicated. The courts have generally deferred to policymakers to decide when to use quarantine. one of the reasons that this is so important now is we really have never had the widespread implementation of quarantine. The most recent example was during the Ebola virus, and there were limited quarantines where we knew that people had come into the country and had been exposed. In this case, in the case of a quarantine, the people affected can go to court and argue that the state has not met the burden of showing the harms, showing that the virus or the outbreak justifies the imposition of quarantine and isolation before. What you're starting to see is some individuals bringing lawsuits saying my civil rights have been violated because the virus is not as lethal or the cases are coming down. I need to get back to work. A second part is political. The demonstrators, for example, opposed to these lockdown orders are now starting to bring litigation saying their civil rights have been violated.
Political and legal, but is it pressure that has our best interests in mind for surviving this?
Good question. It's actually hard to answer because the courts have become more and more political over the last couple of decades. So let me try to answer it this way. Judges are required in these cases to balance the due process limitations, the intrusion into people's right to travel, right not to be confined in their own home without a compelling state interest. So the question the judge has to decide is whether the stay-at-home order has a compelling justification. To the extent that the cases decline and the curve flattens, to use the epidemiological term, the state's case becomes less compelling. Up to now, it's been very compelling. But I think what you'll see is the longer this goes, the more judges will start to question, the more they'll weigh the balance between the economic harms of keeping people in and the deprivation of civil liberties against the morbidity and mortality consequences very differently. At the beginning of the outbreak, the morbidity and mortality consequences will provide a compelling justification for the restrictions.
Do you think it will come down to a legal challenge for all of this to change about when we can leave our homes and go back to work?
No, I think the political pressure, the pressure to reopen the economy will come before the legal.
And did I see you suggest something that perhaps we could gather in small groups with people we know who have been quarantining and not going out? Is that feasible?
Yes, I think that would be feasible, and it's unlikely that anyone would enforce that. But there are limitations to where you can do it and how you should do it.
And that would be?
Well, it depends on the jurisdiction. If there's a strict stay-at-home regime in place, legal requirement, then you can't gather. But as you start to see the restrictions lifted, you're going to see more people gathering who think that they are with others who are unlikely to be carriers of the virus. And I don't think you'll see much enforcement. Right now, what I'm seeing where I live is police moving people along, not allowing them to congregate in parks or on the street. But if you stay 6 feet apart and you know the person has been largely in quarantine for more than 14 days and has no symptoms, I think people will start to want to get together under those circumstances. They want to have some semblance of normalcy, normal routine. I think that's what you'll see.
Peter Jacobson, Professor Emeritus of Health Law and Policy at the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. Thanks so much for talking to us here on WEMU, and please stay well.
Thank you very much. You too.